Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew, chapter 25. We'll read verses 14 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 23. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 23. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for our country. Lord, though our country has her problems, we're still free. We have the freedom to worship and the freedom to preach the Word of God. Lord, there are peoples all over this world that wish they could hear it one time. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we not take too much advantage of that freedom and not pay attention. May we allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I often have people ask me the question about the intensity of my life. I'm an intense person. If you get around me much, you'll find that out. This morning, one verse will tell you why. It is a verse that is so very, very dear to me. It's mentioned more than one time in the Bible, but if you'll listen today, I call the sermon, Words You Should Want to Hear. Words You Should Want to Hear. Let me read again to you Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. It says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then again in Matthew 25:23, a couple verses later, to another person it is said, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Here in Matthew chapter 25, a man that owned a business, a man of some means, gives to his servants some money. Basically, he's wanting them to do something with that money, invest it, if you will. The businessman leaves the country, and we'll stop for just a second. All right, folks, if we need a little help, Brother Ronnie, you got it all right? Okay, now, let's all look right back this way. Young people, please, you have to pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God. Everybody look right back at me. I gave you a chance to look over there. If you didn't look when I gave you a chance, you should have looked. That was the whole purpose. We're all going to look at the same thing at the same time. Now if you'll look right back up here at me, what you do now is don't let anything over there disturb you the rest of the service. See, if it were the devil trying to disturb the service, if you look over there, he'll accomplish that. But if you ignore it, then ha, we got him. Okay, so look right this way, if you will. In this story, a man of some means has given to his servants some money, expecting them to these servants to do the right thing with the money. The man leaves the country. He gave to one 5 talents. Now, that word talents, don't let it trip you up there. It's money. It's a kind of money. And he gives to somebody 5 talents. And that somebody that he gave 5 talents to invested it and earned 5 more. Now that person has a total of 10 talents. Another man was given 2 talents. He invested his 2 talents and he earns 2 more. Now he has 4 talents. Yet there was another person that was given 1 talent. They didn't do anything with their talent. Actually, the Bible says they dug a hole and they buried it. And they had no increase. So one that had 5 multiplied to 10, one that had 4, or one that had 2 multiplied to 4, one that had 1 didn't multiply at all. Now, the rich man had left the country. He comes back into the country. He's going to check up on these servants of his, or the people that were working for him, to see how they handled the money that he gave. He speaks to each one of these 3 servants. The man who had had 5 talents had doubled his to 10. That man comes to present himself to his master, or to the guy he's working for. And it says this in verse number 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So his boss praised him and said, "Good job. I gave you 5. You turned it into 10. You did a great job." Then the man who had 2 talents that doubled it to 4, he presents himself to his boss, and the boss says this to him in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." And again here, the boss is pleased and praises him. Now, the one who had 1 talent, and didn't do anything with it, he now presents him to the boss. And listen to what the boss says in verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had I sowed not, and gather where I have not sowed." Here, the boss says, "Boy, you didn't do the right thing." Now, folks, let me explain something to you. If we took the time to look at that chapter in the Bible in more detail, you would find out that this chapter, this little story, is virtually God looking at you and I saying, "I have given you some things, and I expect you in your life to multiply them and use them, and I don't want you to waste your life." And God wants to be able to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Our goal should be to hear from our God those words used for the servants that multiplied their talents. Now, let me say to you, I hear people quote these verses from Matthew 25:21 and 25:23. I hear it quoted a lot. But I want you to know, I think about these verses every week of my life. Every week of my life, I think about what I would like to hear God say to me someday. You say, "What is it, Brother Owens?" I just like God to be able to say to me someday, "Jeff Owens, well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's all. That's all. Do you know you ought to want God to be able to say that to you someday? These are words that all of us ought to want to hear. I was thinking this week, Our beloved brother Philip Davis went to be with the Lord. And we had his homegoing service just a couple of days ago. Something sweet about it. Ken and Debbie are sitting back here. Part of the funeral service, when I was talking about Philip and we were remembering him, one thing about Philip is Philip was always seeking his daddy's approval. In other words, Philip liked to hear his dad say, "Good job, Philip. Good job, Philip." Well, we have a Heavenly Father. I have a little letter here that my daddy wrote to me. It says this. It says, "Dear son, I am well pleased with your service to the Lord. I'm sending you my very first Bible. I bought it right after I first got saved. I used this Bible as I went through Bible college. I used this Bible to found and to start the Trinity Baptist Church. Please accept this Bible as a token of my love for you, and I'm proud of you, Dad." Well, I'm telling you something. That means a lot to me to hear my daddy say, "I am well pleased with your life, son." I want my mom to be well pleased with my life. I want my dad to be well pleased with my life. I don't want to embarrass my wife. I don't want to embarrass my children. Really, I would like for my wife to be well pleased with my life and my testimony. And I would like my children to be well pleased with my life and my testimony. But I have to tell you today, all the way at the top of my list, I want God someday to look down and say, "Jeff, you did good. You did right. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want to say to everybody in here, you ought to want to hear those words someday. You ought to want to hear those words. If those words are possible when we stand before our God someday, you ought to want to live your life in such a way that God could say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words ought to be your goal. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words ought to become your cause in life. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words ought to become your purpose in life. To hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words ought to become the standard. Those words ought to help you to achieve the standard by which you do everything in life. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words ought to create a passion in you. Some of you that are a little lethargic about life and you're about half in neutral most of the time, maybe you would give your life a little more and you would get more accomplished in life if your goal was to hear God say someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care. One of our men came to me earlier and we were in the back and I greeted him. He said, "Preacher, I'm really excited. It's been an exciting week for me." I said, "What about?" He said, "I'm getting baptized today. I'm getting baptized today." He said, "I've been looking forward to this all week long." Hey, if somebody today, you get baptized and you're officially joining the church and you just started coming around, you ought to have the goal of hearing God say someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But wait a minute. What if you're somebody that's been in this church for that 69 or 70 blessed years, like we've honored folks for staying faithful all these years? Hey, it doesn't matter if you've been here one day or 100 days or 1,000 days, you ought to want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Folks, there's more to this thing of serving God than just popping into the church every once in a while. We should live our lives wanting God to be able to say to us someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My whole sermon comes from that one verse. We're going to take those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, if it is that God would like to say those words to you, and if it is that you would like to hear those words said, for that sentence to be directed toward you from Him, you better understand what it is that He's saying. Today I want to talk to you about this. Words you should want to hear. What are those words? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's start out with the word "well." The word "well," what's it talking about? That word there is a word describing the quality of something. It was well done. Not talking about your steak. Though Mrs. Owens did make me a steak last night that was more than well done. It's crunchy done. She asked me not to mention it, so I won't. The first word, "well." "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, what is this? This is talking about quality. This is it said, "Well done." It's talking about the quality of that which we do. And the quality of our work. If you want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you're going to have to start out by doing what you do for God, and you need to do it well. Do what you do well. I love this verse. I have a whole sermon from this verse. 1 Chronicles 22:5, it says, "And David said, Solomon my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Let me tell you something. What we do for God ought to be done well. It ought to be done well. Here was the building of the temple, and it was made clear that that which is to be done for God ought to be exceeding and magnificent. It ought to be done well, you see. It even says that as David was preparing for the building of that temple, he prepared abundantly before his death. For what? So when he faced God, he had a shot at God looking at him and saying, "David, you did what you did for me well. It was done with quality. God deserves our best." If you want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," someday, you're going to have to start out with the very first word of that sentence. And you're going to have to realize what you do is to be done well. Not just done, but done well. See, we in life, we do our duties. But God said, "I don't want you just to do what you do. I want you to do what you do, and I want you to do it with well. Do it well. Do it right. Do it big for God. Let's do all that we do to the best of our ability. Let's all." And I ought to tell you this also. We ought to always be improving our best.
Yes, sir.
We're to be growing. And what was our best last year, it might be that we could do a little better than that this year. Let's learn to make our best better. God deserves our best in all areas of life. I think God deserves our best in our relationships.
Yes.
I think we ought to, every husband in here, you ought to be the best husband that you can be. I think every wife in here, you ought to be the best wife you can be. I believe every child in here, you ought to be the best son or the best daughter that you can be. And every brother ought to be the best brother that he can be. And every sister ought to be the best sister you can be. I believe that every mother-in-law ought to leave the country for God. You ought to be, if you're the in-laws or the outlaws, you ought to be the best that you can be. See, I believe if we're going to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we're to do what we do well. We're to do it well. You can't hear those words unless you qualify, and you don't qualify unless you've raised the standard of what you do, so you just don't do it to get it done, but you do it so it's done well. Well, he said, God deserves our best. He deserves our best in attitudes. Our attitudes ought to be right. God deserves, not that you just have an attitude, but it is a well, it is a healthy attitude. God deserves our best when we do our work for Him. God deserves our best when we go to work. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You may come down to the work and say, down to the church and say, "When I work down here at the church, I want to do what I do well." Then there's some of you, you go to work down at the factory, or you go down to work at the office, and you don't give your best. I'm going to tell you something. God's not satisfied with that. You are to have a good testimony as far as your work ethic here at church and off this property. Do what you do well. God is watching. I think God deserves our best in all areas of life. I think He deserves our best in our relationships, and our best in our attitudes, and our best in our work for Him, and our best at the secular office, and our best in regard to our purity and guarding our morality. Hey, God was able to say well done to somebody. You ought to want God to be able to say well done to you too. I thank God. I believe on the day of Pentecost, after Peter got done preaching and 3,000 people got saved and baptized, I think God was able to say, "Peter, you didn't just do it, you did it well. You did it well." I think as John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and God was able to give him the revelation that we find in the last book of the New Testament, I think when it was all said and done, God was able to look at John and say, "John, you did well. You didn't just do it, you did it well." And folks, we get too satisfied with, "I got it done." You're not to just get it done. You're to do what you do as a Christian, and you're to do it at the best of your ability. You're to give your all. It's to be done right, and it's to be done well. It's to be done well. We're way too satisfied with average. The standard for Christianity is excellence. We're to live with that in view. I believe God was able to say, well done to Peter on the day of Pentecost. I believe He is able to say, well done to John on the Isle of Patmos. I think when David fought Goliath, He is able to say, well done. I think when Mary saved herself in her virginity so that she might be the one to carry the Christ child, that He might be born of a virgin, I believe that God was able to say to Mary, well done! Well done! She didn't just do it, she did it well. That's the first verse, that's the first word in this passage. If you want to hear those words, you've got to understand the word well. The word well. Well, what is that? It's a quality that God deserves. But not only that, the second word, done. D-O-N-E. Somebody's finishing something.
Yes.
Somebody was not just a starter, they were a finisher.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul finished what God gave him to do. Paul, it's not long here until Paul will pass away. Paul is looking back over his life and said, God called me to do some things. I did what God wanted me to do. And I'll tell everybody in here. There's all sorts of people in here that would believe that your pastor has been called to God and you would say, preacher, we want you to do what God created you to do. And thank you for that. I want to do what God created me to do. Let me make something very clear to you. Every single person under the sound of my voice were created for a purpose. God created you to do something for God. And it is as important for you to finish the work God created you to do as it is for me to finish the work that God created me to do. And so, I want to encourage you today. Hey, you finish the work that God's given you to do. You say, well, Brother Holmes, I don't even know what that work is. You stay in church, stay in your Bible, stay on your knees. You ought to be seeking what that is. God, what? Hey, well done. 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 What's it mean? Hey, we're to finish what God's given us to do. You're not going to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you didn't get it done. That'd be a lie for God to say, well done, and you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and you didn't get done what you were supposed to get done. And He can't compliment you on what's been done if it's not been well, because that was the quality of the work that He expected to get out of you. Complete your tasks of life. There are many starters in the Christian life, and God needs some finishers. I've recently said this. I can't remember where, so I'm going to say it again here. Dr. Joe Boyd pastored down in Texas for a while. He pastored a church called the Open Door Baptist Church. He said, after I pastored a couple of years, he said, I watched people, they couldn't take hard preaching. He said, they would come and go and come and go and come and go. They'd be in the church a couple of years and then they'd go and they'd come and go and come and go. He said, after about 2 years, I took it to my deacons one night and said, I'd like to change the name of my church from the Open Door Baptist Church to the Revolving Door Baptist Church. I was told in my years of Bible college that the average church member lasts about 7 years. That's all they can handle. For those of you that have been around longer than 7 years, I tip my hat to you. To those of you that have been around the multiples of seven, God bless you. But don't you be shocked. They come and go and come and go and come and go and come and go and come and go. I came to stay. I came to finish what I started. And you listen to me. We need to finish. Hey, finishing the Bible here, God said, well done. What's He talking about? You finished something. You stuck with it till the end. That young people, don't you quit school. Don't you quit school. You stay with it. You say, school's hard for me. There is somebody under the sound of my voice. You're old enough now where I think the government says it's 16. If mom and dad will let you quit school, it's okay if mom and dad will sign for you. First of all, mom and dad, I wouldn't sign. You say, Brother Owens, you're meddling. I know. That gets me in a lot of trouble. Not meddling as much this Sunday morning as I was last Sunday morning, though. For that, we ought to all say amen. But I wouldn't sign it. You young people, you say it's hard. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to be a little older than my class. Finish what you start. If you'd like to hear God say, well done, then you're going to have to finish what you start. You need to finish your marriage. People giving up on their marriages right and left. Hey, when we got into this booger, we knew it was hard. Anytime you start a relationship and having people, you got to stand up in front of a whole bunch of people and say, right off the bat, for better or for worse, don't you see it coming? You're starting a relationship. The first thing the preacher makes you promise is look right smack dab at each other and say, for better, for worse. Now, are you dummy or what? Next thing they said, for richer, for poorer.
Yeah.
And the first two will make you sick. So it's in sickness or health. Finish that marriage.
Yes.
Finish it. You say it's hard. Hey, life is hard.
Yes, sir.
I'll guarantee you, I was thinking about one of our families married over 60 years. Brother English, 64 years. 64 years. Don't you think that that sweet couple in 64 years have faced the trials of life? But they stuck with it.
Amen.
If you want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you're going to have to finish what you start. You say, what did I start? If you started school, finish school. If you started marriage, finish that marriage. Hey, you better finish in the right kind of church.
Yes, sir.
Better finish those projects of life. And let me recommend to the people that work on our staff here, got to finish in the ministry.
Yes, sir.
Got to finish in the ministry. Done. Well done. Done. You got to finish something. You say, boy, I would like to hear God say that to me someday. Then finish something. You can't qualify for done unless you have finished something that you started for God. I think one day, no. Do you have any idea what kind of stuff Noah had to put up with while he was building that ark? Everybody was mocking him, teasing him. Nobody believed in him. They thought he was this wacko fundamentalist out there building this ark, telling everybody it was going to rain. But I'll promise you, the day that Noah drove the last nail, put his hammer in his toolbox, I think God looked down and said, Noah, well done. Well done. He finished what was hard. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I was thinking of the deacon by the name of Stephen. Stephen had lived in such a way that it had irritated the people around him. As a result of it, they stone Stephen to death. They stone him to death. You think the preacher's the only one that's supposed to live right? Everybody's supposed to live right. But I love it. I believe if you know the story of Stephen, they were stoning him to death. And he looked up into heaven. And the Bible says, Jesus at the right hand of the Father. When Stephen was entering heaven, Jesus stood up and gave Stephen a standing ovation. You know what he was saying? Well done. Well done. All the way to the end. An old time fundamentalist. All the way to the end. Same Bible, same standard, same conviction. All the way to the end. All the way. It gets less and less popular as the world gets more and more wicked, but the old time way is still the right way. Let's do it well. Let's do it all the way to the end. Done. Well done. Then we see that word. Oh, and let me tell you about that thing of getting things done. Your unfinished task will multiply the frustration in your daily life. Some of you, if you just go home and finish up a bunch of things you started, you'd be less frustrated. I'll recommend this before I go to the next point. Some of you, it's time for you to finish reading your Bible all the way through. There's some of you who've been living for years and years and years, and you've never read the book from cover to cover. It's time for you to finish that task. Finish it. Read the Bible all the way through. I challenge you. It'd be good for somebody in here to turn your television off until you've read the Bible all the way through. Just think about that for a little while. You want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What you do is going to have to be done well. That is a quality that God deserves. It's going to need to be done. That means you finish what you start and you finish in the right way. And then it says thou. Well done thou. There's that third word. I guess this challenge then is a personal one. It's a personal challenge. Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Notice this. The psalmist says, I will praise thee. I am fearfully made. My soul knoweth right well. It's very personal. This thing of hearing the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's to all Christians, but I don't think it's to all Christians collectively. I think it's to every Christian as an individual. I may not be able to convince you, but let me say to everybody under the sound of my voice, I'm just sure as sure can be that this statement, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," ought to be a passion of yours. And if you would start living with this as your goal, you'd stop fussing with God about the things about your life that ought to change. You'd be willing to give up some of the things of the world. You'd start doing right. You'd show up to church like you ought to. You'd treat your husband right. You'd treat your wife right. You'd do right by people. You'd stop stealing the tithe because you are consumed with God being pleased with your life. But until you decide you want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," until you've gotten serious about it, you're going to flip-flop back and forth between the world and the church. You're going to be half in, half out, half on, half off, half up, half down, half whole, half hot, half cold. And that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get all the way in. All the way. Thou. You. You. If you sit there and say, "Boy, Brother Owens, I think this is a good sermon for somebody out there." It's a good sermon for you. Good sermon for you. This isn't for those around you. It's good for you. Hey, well done, thou good. We're not talking about you're a member of a productive church. There's some of you that say, "I wouldn't want to be a member of a church that's not a productive, soul-winning, aggressive church." Yeah, but are we that because of you? Do you know nobody can win the souls for you that you're to win for yourself? Everybody here should strive to hear those words. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Everybody. It's personal. You, young men, here on the front row, each one of you, you ought to want to hear those words. Everybody here, you ought to want to hear those words. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You too. You say, "Preacher, that's written to you." No, it's written to you. And 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 you. Well done to every one of you. To every one of you. It's very, very personal. You ought to want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you may not hear those words by letting the world be your standard or some other Christian be your standard. You better let God, you better let the Bible decide how you get the compliment of "well done." 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Three times he uses the word "I," and one time he uses the word "my." It was very personal to Paul. Paul said, "I need to do what I'm supposed to do." Not just the pastor, the pastor's wife. You need to want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not just the pastoral staff and their wives. No, you are to want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not just the deacons and the deacon's wife. No, you are to want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not just the Sunday school teachers and the assistant teachers. No, you are to want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not just your bus captain, bus rider, not just your bus driver, though they ought to want to hear those words, but every bus rider, every Sunday school attender, every church member, every mom, every dad, every old one, every young one, every one of us ought to have inside our heart a very deep passion and a drive and a desire to have God say to us one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant." That ought to be your drive.
Yes.
Change your whole life if you'll just take that attitude.
Yes,
well done. Thank God Moses took the challenge personally.
Yes.
Moses did. Thank God Elijah, when he faced Jezebel and the false prophets of Baal, I believe that he took the challenge personally. I believe that Abraham lived by faith in a unique and a special way in his day and age. You say why? I believe Abraham wanted to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We see the word "well." The first word, what is it? It is the quality that God deserves. We see the word "done." What is it? God wants us to start and finish what He gives us to do with this great quality of well. Then God comes along and He says, well done thou. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. It's to be a personal challenge. And then number four, He says, well done thou good. Good. Now what's it talking about? It's talking about your behavior on the journey. He first told us of a right quality. Then He told us to get started and finish the task. Then He told us to take it very personally. Now He comes along and He says, well done thou good. He's describing your behavior on the journey. Proverbs chapter 12 verse number 2 says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will He condemn. Your behavior, it's talking about your quality of life. Now it's talking about your testimony. Folks, we are to be good and we are to do good. We are to be good and we are to do good. And just so you understand, a lot of the being good will qualify you to do greater good in your life. God cleans you up for a purpose. He didn't clean you up so you could just brag about being cleaned up. God cleans you up to use you. God's Word is a purifying agent. And that cleansing that comes, He cleanses us to make us usable. But we are to be good and we are to do good. John 16:33 it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Here God's saying, be good. Be good. But in Acts chapter 10:38, describing Jesus, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. We need to be good, and it will help us to do good. Did you know there are do-gooders who are not be-gooders? There are some people that do some good things along the way. And I'm glad that you do some good things along the way. But may I tell you, you're not just supposed to do a few good things along the way, you're to be good. There's some folks, matter of fact, they work pretty hard at doing some good deeds because they're hoping it'll make up for the fact that they're not being the right kind of a Christian. And so you know, I'm glad you do good, but God wants you to be good while you do good. You cannot make up for your nasty lifestyle by going out and being good for being good to somebody. You're to be a be-gooder and a do-gooder. There are people that are being good, but they're not doing anything. Now, what I said a moment ago is there are people that do some good things, but they're not being good. Now I'm saying to you, there are some people that tend to be good, but then they don't do good. We're to do both. There's some of you in here, if I got up here and got to throwing a fit about liquor, the liquor traffic or the misuse of drugs, you'd shout amen, amen, amen. I could preach against worldliness, you'd shout amen, amen, amen. Then I find out all you do is sit there living right, but you never do anything for God. God did not clean you up to set, God cleaned you up to serve. So you're to be good. And then you are to do good. And listen, you are not going to hear the words, well done thou good and faithful servant, unless you're being good. That's how you're going to end up doing good. So when you hear us talking about standards and convictions and all that sort of stuff, you'll get more done by being good than just trying to do good without being good. I'm just sure of that. I'm positive of that. God requires both. Be good. Live a holy life. That holy life is not just the absence of bad, but it's the presence of good. Have good friends. Do good. Have good entertainments, a good lifestyle. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good. Wow, what a testimony. Jesus Christ went about doing good. You say, what can I do? I want to be good. I want to do good. Win souls for Christ. Feed the poor. Restore the backslidden. Bring your friends to church. All those things are a part of it. But I have to ask you, do you see that word done? That means there's some productivity about you. Hey, let me ask one question to every person in the house. I want you to think about it for a second. What have you produced for God? So what does God want me to produce? Well, the most important thing you produce are souls won. Members of your church. Lives changed for the better. I know that's heavy. You say, I've got my hands full with my own life. Let me tell you something. Get yours living good, and then you'll find yourself being able to do good in reaching others. Some of you that are backslidden, how many people are you really helping right now? You're not going to help very many people when you're the one that needs help. You want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Then you need to be good so you can do good by helping other people. You see, he said, well, what was that? The quality. Done. What was that? He wanted you to start and finish what you're going to do well. Then he said, thou. He's talking to us personally. You can't be a member of this. There's not a club of those that all get told, well done, thou good and faithful servants, all of the time. It's not a club. You have to do your part to hear him say to you this statement. Then he said, well done, thou good. What is that? That's our behavior. It's being good so that we can do good. And then it uses the word faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful. Faithful. 3 John 5, it says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. Wow. What a reputation.
Yes, sir.
What a compliment. It is said here of someone in the Holy Scripture, whatsoever thou doest, you do it faithfully. That's a compliment.
Yes.
Could someone say of you, whatever you're given to do, you do it faithfully? That's a compliment. What's it talking about now? It's talking about consistency in our good. What's it talking about? It's talking about doing good for a long time. What's it talking about? It's talking about a spiritual dependability. Real faithfulness is a quality not much understood by this generation.
Right.
Faithfulness means you're trying to be there 100% of the time. That's faithfulness. The average person does not understand the term faithful anymore. You say, well, you really, anybody that expects 100% faithfulness is an idiot. You might want to talk to your wife about that. Do you want your husband or wife to be as faithful to you as you are to God and to your duties? Some of you, if you were as faithful to your secular job as you are to your church, they would fire you. And every time somebody called to get a recommendation, nobody else would ever hire you. Faithfulness does not describe a quitter. I'll tell you a story. I was down in Chesapeake, Virginia, preaching a regional old PAS conference earlier this week. Tornadoes came through. My wife, she was with me, looked out the hotel window, and the cars were actually in the parking lot. It looked like they were moving from the wind. It was time to go to the evening service. We left early. There was no power. The power went off in the hotel where we were staying. The power was off all over the city. Some tornadoes and high winds have come through. There were trees down. Everywhere we went, we were taking detours, trying to figure out how we were going to get to the church. Traffic backups, no stoplights, police everywhere, firemen everywhere, no power. Finally, we made it to the church just a little bit before the church service. A 70-year-old lady, a widow, came in, and she said to her pastor, I had to get here. I had to get here. I was listening. She said, I knew I had to leave early. She said, I couldn't drive, so my ride had to come get me, and I was afraid if my ride wasn't going to make it, I had a backup ride because I had to get here. And I'm thinking, oh my. I'm wondering what it is that this 70-year-old lady, maybe she's preaching with me here tonight. And she said to me and her pastor, she said, I had to get here. She said, I'm going to go do my duty. She went to the pulpit and got my glass of water for preaching. Poured the water in it. I said to the pastor, I said, what else does she need to do? He said, no, that's it. left 2 hours before church, had a backup ride, no electricity, 70 years of age, no husband to bring her to church, to pour water in a glass for the man of God for the revival service. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll be honest. I stood there under conviction. I said, oh my, what a whiny baby I am. Well done, thou good and faithful. 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 Do not let the human race define the word faithful. The human race does not have any concept of the word faithful. God understands faithful. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When God says He's in, you've got Him 100% of the time, and you don't have to ever worry again. I'm talking about consistency and dependability. You can go to the bank on faithful with God's definition. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think Job understood the word faithful when he faced his burdens but kept going for God. I believe that John the Baptist understood the word faithful when they put his head and his body at the guillotine and they cut off his head for being faithful to the word of God. Faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful. We should all want to be praised by God in that aspect. You'll like this. This is a letter praising the detergent called Tide. Tide, you know, the one we use to wash our clothes. It says, "Dear Tide, I'm writing to say what an excellent product you have. I've used it all through my married life, as my mom always told me it was the best. Now that I am in my 50s, I find it even better. In fact, about a month ago, I spilled some Red Pop on my new white blouse. My inconsiderate and uncaring, stubborn husband stared at me and berated me about how clumsy I was, and generally started becoming a pain in the neck. One thing led to another, and somehow I ended up with a little bit of his blood on my white blouse. I tried to get the stain out using a bargain detergent, but it just wouldn't come out. After a quick trip to the supermarket, I purchased a bottle of liquid Tide with bleach alternative. And to my surprise and satisfaction, all of the stains came out. In fact, the stains came out so well, the detective who came by yesterday told me that the DNA test on my blouse was negative. And then my attorney called and said I would no longer be considered a suspect in the disappearance of my husband. What a relief. Going through this aging process is bad enough without being a murder suspect. I'm sure you understand. I thank you once again for having such a good product. Well, I've got to go. I've got to write a thank you letter to the Hefty Trash Bag Company." You like to be praised when things are done right. Well done, thou good and faithful. The last word, servant. 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 I see a humility here involved in all of this. If you're not careful, you could do well done, thou good and faithful, and you could get cocky and arrogant about it. You could begin to think you're special. You could think you're better than everybody else. Servant. Yes, God tops this thing off with people that are faithful and capable and they do it right. But they don't know how capable they are. They don't know how wonderful they are. They're doing it in humility. It says in Mark 9:35, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Listen, James 4:6, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." You see, here's somebody that is doing all that they do, but they're not striving for attention. They're striving to serve. They're striving to serve. They're not looking for a title in all of this. They're just looking to serve. They're not looking to be in charge. They're just looking to serve. Humbly doing anything that needs to be done. humbly serving in any way the Lord would need them, humbly serving in the bus ministry. They didn't have to be the captain, they just wanted to be a part. Humbly serving in Sunday school, they didn't have to be the teacher, they just wanted to be a part. Humbly serving in the choir, they didn't have to be the choir director, though we could use another one, but they didn't have to be. Just humbly serving, looking to serve, not necessarily waiting to be asked, but willing to humble themselves and say, if you need me for anything, let me know. They were not proud servants. They were just servants. They were not arrogant, just servants. They did not say, I'm here all the time and the rest of you need to get with it. No. That's not the attitude that they had. They didn't say, what I do is done right and the rest of you need to knock it up a notch here and get first class. They were just servants. They did things first class, but they did it humbly. They were on time, but they did it humbly. They did their duty, but they did it humbly. They were faithful, but they did it humbly. They did it well. They finished what they started, but they did not use their own accomplishment and their own character as a whipping post for everybody else. They wanted everyone around them to grow, and they didn't really want to get glory for it. They wanted God to have the glory. Why? They want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant. They were not looking to get their needs filled. They were looking to be a need filler. No task was below them. No task would embarrass them. They just topped off this passion of life with a servant's heart and a servant's attitude. D.L. Moody, the founder of the Moody Church, Moody Bible Institute up in the Chicagoland area, he would travel. He would get into church, and much like you all, you know, I'll travel and I'll get in on a Wednesday in time to preach on a Wednesday night. The story is told that D.L. Moody had been traveling abroad. On his way back to the States, he had soiled or stained his suit. He'd gotten back to his church and college just a little before the evening service. He was embarrassed about a stain that was on his suit. Standing at the entryway of the facility there was a young man. Moody walked over to that young man. It was a young college boy. And he said, young man, I've soiled my suit and I'm wondering if maybe you could run it down to the dry cleaner and have it touched up for me. They know me there. Could you go and get it touched up? And the young man said, I didn't come to college to learn to be your personal valet. And he walked away. Over in the corner was a shy young man by the name of Jimmy. Jimmy walked over to Moody and said, sir, I'd be pleased to take your suit down to the dry cleaner and get it dry cleaned for you and bring it back. And Jimmy did. Jimmy's name was Dr. James M. Gray, many years later, the man who for 43 years helped to run the Moody Bible Institute and became the president of that institution. Because he was a servant. A servant. He said, I'd like to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful. Well, you have to understand, it's really all about serving Jesus and serving others. We're not to want to hear the words to puff ourselves up. We're to want to hear the words and then humbly bow before Him, realizing for Him to let us do anything is just an honor. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. A verse that is a passion in my life. I hope you let it become one in yours. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I need to tell you, if you want to hear those words someday, then you're going to have to be in heaven, because that is where they will be said, if they are said. If you're not saved, you're going to have to trust Christ as Savior to get to heaven. If you're not saved today, the first thing you need to do is trust Christ as Savior. Then you start on the journey of living your life in such a way that when you arrive at heaven someday, you can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is the question. If you died today, if you died this very day, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I won't come to you, but would you raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell someday. I want to be saved before it's too late." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me"? God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? God bless you. I see that hand. You say, "I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher." God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. I've had some adults, I've had some teenagers and children, all of which have raised their hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. I see another hand. Let me tell you what to do. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the instrumentalists are going to play. We're all going to stand and the choir is going to sing. We call it the altar call. We call it the invitation. When we all stand, you leave your seat. Those of you that raised your hand in the balcony, leave your seat. Go down the back stairs. Re-enter on the lower level. And you come down front. There'll be men standing at the end of each aisle down front. They'll be standing here waiting for you. You leave your seat from wherever you're at. Walk toward the front. Walk up to one of the assistant pastors and say, "I want to be born again." If you'll come down front, we'll have soul winners, trained people that can show you how to be born again. And when you leave this auditorium today, you will be on your way to heaven. Then you can start your journey toward, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You have to be saved to be a servant of God. So you start by getting saved. God will be pleased with that. If you're here today and you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come and we'll tell the people you've been saved. If you're here today and you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation, you come and present yourself for baptism. But I wonder if somebody here today, you say, "This is the first time I've ever heard that this should be the passion of my life." Then you've heard it today. You might need to leave your seat, come to this altar and say, "God, this is it, this verse. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is the standard by which I will make all my decisions. It's how I'll pick my church. It's how I'll pick my friends. It's how I'll pick everything I do. I'll let it become my standard." Somebody needs to do that. But yet there's somebody in here, you've heard of preaching like this. You've heard this very verse before. You've gotten away from it. You've let your standard of living drop. You need to get back to doing everything you do to hear God say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Who here would raise your hand and say, "God spoke to my heart specifically today about something in my life"? Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over the building already. If you need the altar, you come. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Leave the balcony. Leave your seat. Walk toward the front. The men standing at the aisle are there to receive you. Walk up to them and say, "I need to be born again." We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved, never made it public, you come. Let us help you with it. If you've been saved, you've never been baptized after your salvation, you come. Men, stay alert. Oh, leave your seat, sir. Leave your seat, ma'am. Teenager, child, come and walk up to the men and say, "I want to be born again." We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. It's time for some Christians to start doing what you do well. It's time for somebody to decide, "I started for Jesus. I'm going to get it done for Jesus." Don't quit your bus route. Don't quit your Sunday school class. Don't quit on your church. Well done. Thou, you, 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 you. It's for you. Faithful. Standard. Stop comparing yourself to other people in the church. "I'm as faithful as old so-and-so." Well, the ultimate in faithfulness is Jesus. God. You ought to want to hear those words. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But to what he said, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." How do you end up being labeled wicked and slothful? Just don't do what you do well and faithfully. You saved, you come if you need to be baptized, you come if you need to make public your salvation, you come if you need to get right with God. Song, please. Give me one more verse. There are people at the altar yet. There are people names being taken. There are people praying yet. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you, choir. God bless you, congregation. Go ahead and have a seat. If I call